She's wicked professional.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the Dawn of America Live?
Popping right into your theme song.
I did that intentionally with a big smile on my face, actually. For the people that complain about me coughing during the show, it was like, here's one more time for you, you assholes.
Get a cough button, you amateur. Let's see if, I better log into Radio Mosquito so to see it's like.
Banal of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
Who the hell is that?
An old friend of mine. Do you want to play your intro music now? So we can just do them all back to back?
Okay, now everybody has to suffer through my intro music. I'll do the since yours is non-denominational, maybe I'll do my. No, you know what? I'm going to do my It's Greg because I haven't heard that in a while. Let's see. Here we go.
Hey, what?
Do you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear it well enough. As long as the audience can hear it.
Put away the hardware and relax. That's great.
Talk over this one, too. This is the time I usually use to check everything to make sure it's running. Oh, I don't have a recording running. How about that? Oh, the second recording. There we go.
Greetings, my friends. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friends, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable.
That is why you are here.
And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incident, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us free the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shock of that?
There, now everybody had to suffer through both versions of the thing. Let me turn that down. Okay, we're here with Tim Banal of formerly of banalamerica.com and now with banalofamerica.com.
Yes. And I'll do my no commercials, no subscription, no network, no rules. And at the end of the day, my friends, no comparison. Although tonight, we're like brothers in arms here because it's the simulcast. So there is comparison.
Yeah, I think we couldn't keep you away or whatever. We couldn't keep away from Stan, and we couldn't keep you away from Ruxgiving or me.
Yeah, pretty much. And I added a bunch of other couple other holiday shows. So, but I think this is it for me. I'm going back in hibernation after this. So we'll see. I have one more idea like that I might do, but that's like a one-off show. So, but other than that, I don't expect to be doing anything for the time being. So
if people pick up the show on your feed, I'm going to sound like I'm speaking through my nose, and when they pick it up on my feed, you're going to sound like you're speaking through your nose. So,
yeah, it was great. I was thinking that when we were trying to get it together because I was like, you sound funny, and you're like, you sound funny. And it's like, it's like Jetsons and Flintstones, man. It's real simulcast.
Jetsons and Flintstones. What people name it. Do we want to talk about our work, working together?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to talk too much about it. There's not much too exciting about it. Greg and I work for Coast to Coast. I'm the news editor now. I talked about this when I first came back in November, but yeah. So I do the news.
People don't know our business, so tell them your business.
I do the news now at Coast to Coast. I've been doing it for a long time, actually, but now I do it.
Byline on there now.
Yeah, I have a byline, and I make semi-regular appearances on the show on Friday nights. It's pretty much up to me if I can and want to do it. So I do a fair amount. I show up on Friday nights in the first hour and do like a little recap of the news of the week, my favorite stories of the week. And as I said I think I talked about it at the beginning of Ruxco. Yeah. It's exciting for me because it's a whole different, like, way of doing things. You know, not only is it like national radio, which is awesome, but it's like I'm kind of like
Tim's on there. And it's like two, three million people listening to him, going, "What happened this week?"
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and it's like you have to sort of hit your spots differently. It's a little bit like it's more performative, by me, the best way to put it, which I like a lot. Yeah. But it's unlike anything I'm used to doing with Banal America or appearing on podcasts, where it's just like we just let our hair out, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to be too much different, but, you know, you kind of have to, like, okay, here's the idea I have to push in these 5 seconds I'm talking, or 10 seconds, or 30. Don't wander. Punch that idea. When you get to the end of the idea, make sure that the host knows you're at the end of the idea and just not trailing off, that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly, yeah. So it's a lot of fun. And to connect it to what we are doing tonight, we're doing the year in review. And not to be like pat myself on the back or anything, but like I don't think of too many other people that are as well equipped for a year in review than me, because I pretty much spent the whole year covering paranormal news. So, you know.
Yeah, and if you go to the Coast site, there's like how many you've got a whole bunch of year in review, like a thanks for 2019 or 2018, with all the links on it. UFO stories, Bigfoot stories, just the bizarre blotter. Time travelers, that's a good one. We ought to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to get into that, yeah.
Yeah. Sea monsters, ghost videos, and just weird stories. So what do you want to start out with, our favorite UFOs or something else?
Yeah. I think our target audiences are... What's that?
To get the bitching out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I don't expect to be as cynical as usual this year, I hope. How was your year? You know, like, I work for Coast to Coast. Greg works for Coast to Coast, too. He does, he fills in at the site and covers the shows, you know, for the webmasters every second and fourth Sunday or so also, right?
Yeah, and, you know, other ones. I think I did a record, I think, 9 shifts in December.
Nice.
So that was a lot of shifts. And Tim writes the news. He picks the news. He does the newsletter that goes out to everybody. And then I add to it. And then every time there's a guest on, which is every night, basically, when I'm on, I have to listen to the entire show, which sometimes is enjoyable, sometimes it isn't. And then recap, basically, what they said every hour. There's 4 hours, so I got to write 4 paragraphs. And I've got to be pretty fair and balanced and accurate about what I say about what they say. So no matter how I feel about the person, I try to just basically spit out what they said, even while I'm, you know, probably looking at my keyboard and going, ah, rah, 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 part of the time. So that's what goes on. But what Tim does is arguably a lot more enjoyable. He gets to find all the weird stories. When I'm there, I find like the 5 news stories that are down there at the bottom of the page. It's called In the News, I think. And I have friends that send me info, and sometimes if I notice a good article by somebody I think that should get some exposure, I will feature those. But I try to spread it around. I've got, you know, UFO stuff. I've got, you know, tech stuff. I've got astronomy stuff, science stuff. You know, and Tim does the same thing. But then he'll go and like find things like, what the hell's going on with the flat earthers, kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have some leeway to really get crazy, which well, that was kind of the time travelers this year. That was my favorite, like, bizarre trend. But, yeah, so I had a good year. I'm pretty happy with how it shook out. It almost makes me worried about 2019 because I'm, like, one of those people that naturally worries. So it's like, well, this is a pretty above-average year for me. So it's like, it can only go down from here, you fucker. So we'll see. We'll see if that nightmare keeps me up much longer at the start of the year. But, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, geez. Because, like, even on New Year's Eve, like, for some reason my car was having troubles. I'm like one of those people that sees omens and stuff. So it was like I had to call, like, AAA to come in and jump the battery. And it's like, how did I leave the battery on? And I'm like, this was, like, in the middle of the day. So luckily it was, you know, not actually right before New Year's Eve, but it was on the day. And I was just like, oh, geez, this is worrisome. This is not a good way to go into the year, but we'll see. I just feel like 2019 is going to be tumultuous for everybody, but we'll see.
Yeah, nobody's real happy about it. All you hear is like there's going to be a stock market crash and, you know.
The government's going to shut down.
Everything's going to turn over. You know, don't buy anything right now. Sell all your stocks, all that. So
yeah, it's kind
of
scary.
Everybody, we're just kind of at the mercy of the deep state and the power of the Illuminati and the whoever the hell else you want to blame. So
yeah, that's really true. We really just kind of on the we're just sitting and watching the ride at this point. So there's nothing we can really do about it. On that note, so yeah, we can jump into the stuff. Like I said, I think like our target audience is the UFO buffs. So and I use that lovingly.
I'm the target audience for that too.
Yeah. So. So I guess
in 2018, I saw the list.
Yeah. Well, I try to. I guess for this conversation, in a sense, it's like almost I want like to pull back some and see kind of like what, as far as just with, instead of like kind of digging right into like okay, this specific thing happened. It's like I think the TTSA that thing sucked the air out of ufology in a sense. That was like
yeah.
All the major news sort of. Circulated around that for the most part.
Right, right.
So I try to be unbiased about this. Like, I really, and I know some people probably don't believe me, but it's like I really don't have a dog in this fight. So
no, I don't either. I forced myself not to. At the very beginning, I just thought, you know what, I'm not for them, I'm not against them, and with that attitude, I can hopefully sit back and just kind of look and make my own decisions about it, and basically, you know, when the time is right to say something, I'll say something, even if it's never. And they're poised, they say to me, you know, Knapp said the other day, had Elizondo on like a few weeks ago and said, oh, you're going to be big things this year, big things. So there's going to be a conference in at the end of March in Huntsville, Alabama. March 15th through 17th, the Scientific Conference on Anomalous Aerospace Phenomena, put together by Scientific Coalition for Ufology, the SCU people. And guess who the main speaker is, keynote speaker is Elizondo.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to be there. I was like, I've never heard of this.
It might be their, I don't know, it might be their first one. Scientific Conference on Anomalous Aerospace Phenomena.
Interesting.
We'll
see. I mean,
$160 for the whole weekend. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see what they do in 2019. I mean, I thought the stuff they produced was interesting, but it wasn't really. It was like everyone took that article last year in the Times and the revelation about the program to be like this like earth-shattering event. I guess in a sense it was because it sort of like tilted the axis of ufology where now this is like the biggest story. In the grand scheme of things, it's like we're only like inch the ball. You know, we haven't really moved the ball as far as like getting to the bottom of this. And that's what I mean. At the end of the day, that's sort of the modus operandi of their whole mission, right? So
yeah. Well, the other thing is when you look at the big noise, like I think of it as a magic trick. You can just that's how I'm predisposed. Everybody says, look at this, look at this, look at this, and you know what's going on besides looking at that? There's other things going on. I'm sure there are.
Right.
So if you pay too much attention to the show, you're going to miss what's going on. You know, go look behind the curtain every once in a while, see what those people are doing.
Yeah, I'm trying to be patient with whatever they're doing. You know, but it is frustrating sort of like where you see there's a lot more tease than delivery. So that's kind of like frustrating. And I think.
No, I don't know. That might be part of it. Who knows? We'll see what happens with these metamaterials or anomalous materials that came from crashes or something. Diana Pasulka talks about that in her book, which is coming out near the end of the month here. That's going to be for me, that's the biggest event for me. for 2019 and the anticipation of 2018 of it coming up.
Yeah, yeah. That's what Red Pill said when we had him on a few weeks ago. He was really looking forward to that. So, yeah, no, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's sort of like the story to watch. It's still unfolding. It's hard to really, you know, mm-hmm. it's hard to really say much about, you know, little, like, I guess since we kind of, like, I kind of think of this show as sort of like, I think people can go back and listen to them and kind of get an idea. Like little things sort of happened with this TTSA thing where, like, the Tic Tac UFO case became kind of their signature thing. And sort of we learned a little bit more about the program, but really not much. So, you know, I hope that they can put some points on the board next year. You know?
Yeah, you know, I'm saying all these things, and I'm not saying, no, I hope they fail, or it's terrible, or, you know, they're full of crap. It's like, I don't know. I really don't. But
yeah,
I'm sitting here with my popcorn waiting to see what happens. I mean, it could be wonderful. It could be meh. It could be, you know, it could be a horrible disinformation campaign. I do not know, and I'm not going to make a decision on it. I'm not going to make a determination on it.
Right.
I'm just watching. You know,
exactly,
and I think that's probably that's my favorite that's been my favorite attitude since I was a kid. I'm going to sit back and watch and see what happens, unless it's something that directly affects me or threatens me or threatens people I care about or whatever. What are the other attitude can you have? And your perspective is going to get screwed up if you start getting you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If the only the only thing really that irritates me about the story is sort of like the rank and file, it's like fighting that goes on about it. Where it's like if you're not excited enough about this, or if you express any reservations about this or anything, like, you know, it's like very black and white, and it's like, geez, man, this is really. You know, what if I just kind of want to watch this, see what happens?
There's people that want to be on the bandwagon because they think it's the most wonderful thing in the world, and there's others that just want to throw water on it because they think it's, you know, it's BS, or it's just the same, more of the same, or maybe it's just player hate. So you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's really, yeah. So we'll see what they do, you know. We'll see what they do. They're making a lot of promises for 2019, so I'd like to see something kind of tangible that we can, like, get our hands on, you know, whether it's genuinely good piece of footage or, you know. But I said
my prediction is just as intangible as before, but maybe more intriguingly intangible.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I said to on a couple of these shows in this Benalladay season that I just found I just feel like, I guess it's for the general public too, but it's like, unless something happens like now, it's hard to really get too excited, I think. The people, you know, the mainstream people, I think it's everyday people, I mean. It's hard for them to get too excited unless it's like happening right now. So it's like, hey, we have a piece of metal that came from an alien spaceship or whatever. Like, I don't think that would really get, people would be interested in shit, but I still think, like, even that's not going to. You know, it has to happen right fucking now for anyone to care.
Yeah, well, that and, you know, if you walk out your door and you still have to go to work the next morning, I don't think it's going to not be that different either for most people.
Right. Well, here's a great video we got from a jet in 2013. And even if it's a really good video, it's like, okay, that's just like, that's a UFO.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. You know.
Well, I don't think a lot of this is to convince the general public, because I think the general public, for the most part, thinks there really is a thing that there really are aliens and they have visited here, and that, you know, that the same old hardline hardware thing. I think that's what most people think of it, because they don't have time to think of it past that. They got other stuff to do. So what this is for, I think, is in a lot of ways is for policymakers and people with money and all that. That's what they're trying to affect, I think. And for what reason, I do not know. They said it straight out. They want to use this technology to create technology that we can use. Who knows that they might be saying exactly, in a lot of ways, exactly what they're trying to do straight out. But that's just part of it, I think.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing, I guess,
I do not wish them ill.
No, not at all. You know, I may come off surly and cynical, but it's like, it's the people who irritate me, not the organizations.
Systems are perfect till people get involved. That's my quote.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so to jump off that, I found that it seemed like this fervor around this TTSA thing and the story and everything kind of like changed the way we saw UFOs. They had a good year, let's put it that way. Like UFOs had a banner year. I think we're gonna have a bigger year next year. But the one and of course we'll get to the bad UFOs, but the one thing I noticed, because like I said, I've been sort of combing the news here for years now, was that this year there were three cases where pilots reported UFOs, and that made the news, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So it's not necessarily like the UFOs, but it's like that this somehow made the news. And it's like, I've been doing this for a few years. I was like racking my brains. That's not like an every year occurrence that this kind of story makes the news. And then there were three of them.
Three. Yeah. Well, there's probably always stories like that. They just don't make it into the news because one of the results, I think, of the TTSA thing is a softening of the media towards this. There's not as much giggle factor and more willingness to report these things as newsworthy. And not, I noticed less jokes in there, less, you know, cartoons about little men from other planets and all that. It's just kind of like, hey, this weird thing happened. And some pilots reported it. So that actually was kind of a sea change as opposed to 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think also what happened is like they saw how big that story was, and it's a business. So now they're on board with like this is like when pro wrestling was hot, and all of a sudden you'd see like you'd see like wrestlers in commercials and they'd be like, I don't know, presenters on the Golden Globes or whatever, you know, and stuff like that, where all of a sudden they were like, they were like, okay, we welcome you into the tent for now, you know? So I think that's kind of what's going on.
Yeah. It's momentarily quote unquote respectable.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, the less giggle factor on this, I think the better for everybody. And the faster, and this is a wish of mine for the past few years, the faster it'll be taken out of the hands of amateur ufology and put in the hands of people that have the funding and the degrees and the brains and hopefully the flexibility in their belief systems or whatever, or their methodology to start looking this in a different way. I think that's what DeLong's people tried to corner, and I'm sure there's other people, groups in this country and others that are doing the same thing and probably have been for quite a while. I think we're sort of behind in this.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of still fairly verboten.
So what were the three? There was the Irish one, there was one in Arizona, and what was the other one?
Island. The Arizona one was probably the best one, because that was two separate pilots and two different aircraft. Saw something?
Yeah, I listened to the audio of that, which is just fascinating to hear the audio, just because I'm about 90% up on what they're actually talking about when they're just like, okay, flight level, blah, 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 contact this, you know, contact LA Center, contact, you know, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's kind of, that's another reason I think maybe why it stood out, because I know you, and I figured that, you know, you would, first of all, I have actually a couple questions about this, and you'd be the one who would know. So, like, in that situation...
Maybe you better tell me what happened, actually.
What's that?
Maybe give some background on what this the one over Arizona
was.
Oh,
I just meant as a pilot. Like you're... I'm trying to sort of get an idea of, like... I mean, essentially two pilots from two different things saw something anomalous. I mean, there's no real... You know, I can't – if I dig deeper into it, probably like a shiny object.
Yeah, at night over, I think, southern Arizona, February 24th, 2018. So, like, at the beginning of last year, basically, the second month of last year.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if anyone describes it. Was hovering, not moving. He was not sure if it had been a balloon, but
One of them actually said Google balloon. It's like, is that a Google balloon or something like that?
Yeah. It says it was just really beaming light or had a big reflection. That was a shiny object. That's what the guy said. Yeah, you're right. I kind of needed to said that. So that's what that guy, So two guys were like, hey, did you just see that thing go by? And contacted, you know.
Yeah, one of the first pilots said something just went by, so you have it on radar. The Albuquerque Center said no. And then a few minutes later, another guy was listening on the frequency, because I guess that's a frequency when they're at that altitude in that airspace, said probably heard what was going on. I'm sure they heard what was going on. And said, yeah, we just saw that thing too.
Yeah.
And then a couple of people make say UFO and kind of laugh about it, and then that's it. At least as far as that recording is concerned.
Right. Well, the next one was a guy on Long Island, and he phoned the air traffic control. This was in June. He said he says I have an object in front of me, and I don't know what it is. And then they were like, the operator's like a drone or something. And he says he doesn't think that's the case because the object is bigger than a drone. And then the radar reporter said she didn't see it on radar. Then he asked to move away from the object, and he does. And then they ask him what it was. Now that he's safely away, and he says, definitely something was there. The controller replies, we have to assume it was a drone. I don't know if that's a safe assumption or not, but that's what we'll go by. So,
it depends on the altitude,
and
too.
And then after the controller said that, he replied, actually, it looked like it had lights on it. So then she says, that's really interesting. And then there's a pause.
Drones have lights on them. I've got three drones. They all have lights on them.
Right. He said it was bigger than it. Well, I guess, all right, that's the question. Okay, that is exactly what I want to ask you, though.
Okay,
so what is the likelihood you've been up there in a plane as the pilot? We'll start with A. What is the likelihood that, if you saw something like a drone, I don't know what time this one was at, so let's just go with day and night. We'll just cover them all. We'll cover them all! It's the spectacular simulcast. So if you see... could you make that distinction? That's the word I was looking for. Could you make that distinction if you were in that situation, do you think? Or is the object really so hard to, is it possible that something could be so confounding even though it's prosaic? There, finally, I got all the words I was trying to say.
It depends on... what time of day it is, what the weather conditions are. Really important is how fast you're going, because you're not going faster, you can't get as good look at it. And your altitude. Because if you're at 25,000 feet and you say it's a drone, if it's a drone, it's a military one, and it's not the one you would think of. It would probably be just one of those UAVs that have the predators or whatever like that. I don't think they have things with the four or eight or whatever, six props flying up at 25,000, 30,000 feet. They can't. Well, they could, I guess, but the air is too thin for them to really do anything. Helicopters can't go above certain altitudes. The air is too thin. And certainly drones. So there's a lot of factors in there. I mean, the one in Long Island, where was that scene? What altitude, and was it near an airport or anything? Do you know?
It was over Long Island. I don't know. He was flying a Piper Saratoga. He cruised at 6,000.
Okay,
he was at 6,000 feet over the town of Huntington, New York, at around 1 p.m. in the afternoon, so daylight. And he saw an object bigger than a drone in front of him that he thought had lights. I don't know how he'd think it would have lights. I guess maybe you can see lights in the daylight. I don't know. Well, you're the pilot. I don't know.
Yeah, he says, sounding somewhat confused, is it a drone or something? Then the pilot tells him he doesn't think it's the case because the object is bigger than a drone. And then he couldn't see anything on radar. Depends on what it,
I guess how far away, he doesn't really see.
You probably couldn't see on radar because, one, it's plastic, and, two, it's so tiny, it's like the size of a bird.
Yeah.
So it probably wouldn't show up on radar.
Is 6,000 feet possible for a drone?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know you could probably send it up 6,000 feet. The air is not so thin there that it couldn't operate.
Yeah.
Also, I've sent drones, you know, a mile or more away from me, and that's a little, you know, drones right now are rated, at least consumer ones, for something like 3 or 4 miles, maybe 5.
Yeah.
And 6,000 feet, if you're directly under it, that's well within the capabilities of controlling a drone. But I think he knows what the thing looks like, so I don't think that thing was what he was talking about. Wasn't a drone, because if he's a pilot, I'm sure he knows what drones look like, and that they're basically, you know, a body of some sort of body with a bunch of arms on it with helicopter blades.
Right, right.
So plus the fact that he's in a Saratoga, I think the cruising speed is probably somewhere around 200 miles an hour. And the fact that he was able to look at it for a while means that either it was far away from him or traveling almost as fast as him, which a drone can't do unless it's, you know, kind of commercial military grade.
Yeah.
And that's as much as my informed opinion tell me.
That's exactly what I was kind of looking for. So, yeah. All right.
That probably wasn't a drone. I would agree with a pilot that was saying, no, that's not a drone.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering.
Sure, like, it's very quickly.
Yeah. Because, like, you hear the sort of air traffic control, and they're like, or I will just say it was a drone. And it's like, well, I don't think it was a drone. So it's like, could he really have made that mistake? Or do you go with the guy who's in the air looking at it? And, you know, one would assume, I think, like you said, it's like, I think he would know what a drone looks like. But maybe there are instances where, and it's like we were just saying, it's like it was 1 p.m. So it's not like he was like, not like it was, like, late at night or after dark or whatever. Or, you know, there doesn't seem to be any mitigating factors which would have explained why you wouldn't
It's daytime, so and the fact that he could see lights on it means that the lights were brighter than drones usually are. Because in the daytime, you can't really see them too well, especially because they point down, at least the ones I have and most of the ones I've seen.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even know that. Yeah, that's true. All right, yeah, so that was kind of interesting. We'll see if we see more of those this year. And the Irish one, it was kind of written off as like three different pilots.
Saratoga's cruising speed is 170 miles per hour or so.
All right. So the Ireland UFO one, that was like three pilots saw something. It was kind of written off as a meteor, but David Metcalf raised the possibility that it was some kind of like military drone test. I think I apologize to him if I messed that up, but it was there was some kind of exercises going on at the same time that he thinks, you know, that, well, he chastised the media, rightfully so, I guess, for missing that and just writing it off as a meteor. But it was an interesting one because like three pilots saw this thing sort of, and it did sound like a meteor. And then they quickly assembled, like, this was in UK, so talk about like the media difference. They like quickly found experts who were like, right away were like, that was just a meteor. It's just a meteor. So,
But that's not really what they described. And the thing changed direction. Not that this matters. I mean, in kind of the big scheme of things, how many videos, films, pilots, sighting things, military pilots, radar traces, do you need to prove to you that there's something weird going on?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's,
now,
yeah.
At this point, it becomes porno, as I call it, UFO porno.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think, well, it'll be interesting to see if this is some kind of trend where we're going to see more of these pilot cases. And if so, like, that gives them a little more air of gravity. So that maybe for people who are fans of sort of like the conspiratorial end of things, it's like maybe they're edging us, maybe they're edging them, the public, into more taking this more seriously because now we're hearing about pilots seeing them. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, as long as there's more, you know, the object is to get, I can't remember who coined this term, maybe it was Stanton Friedman, to get respectable people to treat the subject respectably so that more progress can be made in understanding what it is, what it might be, what causes it, whatever you want to say.
And then you wanted to you took issue, and I mentioned this, and you're aghast at all the bad UFO videos. Yeah, it was a bad year for UFO videos. I wasn't really impressed.
I was just talking to Red Pill, and he said the same thing.
Yeah, I really wasn't impressed with, like, anything I saw this year. And, you know, and I see I think I see all of them really are the main ones. So, yeah, I don't know what happened, because I don't know if it's just – well, I'm glad Red Pill said it, too, because that's – at least I know it's not, like, my own internal bias or something.
Yeah, flying human from Mexico, I looked at that, like, that's a balloon,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. UFO filmed inside of a lightning bolt. Either there's something going on in the atmosphere that makes it look like there's a triangular UFO in it, or somebody's messed with it
exactly.
In Photoshop or something. Trio of odd orbs seen over forest in France, I looked at that. It looked like approaching aircraft. They didn't really move very much. And the eerie flock of crows swarming a spherical object in Marina del Rey, right near me in California. I looked at that for a while and was like, wow, they really are flying. No, wait a second. They're like 50 feet or 100 feet. They're a lot closer to the camera than whatever that object is, and they're not swarming it. It's just it's a matter of perspective. And the object is probably the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah, or a balloon of some kind, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That was probably the most interesting of the bunch because it was so weird looking.
A little bit longer. And I said, it's not a balloon because if it was a free-floating balloon, there's palm trees in the foreground that are whipping around. So there's a decent wind going. And if you look at the whatever it is in the background, it's kind of heeled over, pointed sort of in the direction. I mean, the ground wind and the wind at altitude might be different. But it generally, if it's Marina del Rey, it's coming from the beach. It's coming from the west. You know, to the left side of the picture. And you can look up there, and whatever it is, the odd-shaped object – appears to be trying to quarter into the wind if it's the Goodyear blimp. And I even saw a little white dot in the middle of it like it's a gondola. So I'm pretty sure it was the Goodyear blimp with a bunch of crows flying, you know, right near the ground of the Goodyear blimp, like, you know, a mile away or 3 or 4 miles
away. Right, in the background, yeah.
5,000 feet in the air. So.
Yeah, I see a lot of, like, it was a really frustrating one is, like, I see a lot of ones where the person, like, it irritates me, I guess, because you wonder, like, are they that – do they really not know this, or are they just trying to, like, make a fake thing? But it's like, but they film, and it's just the reflection of, like, their phone off the glass of the window or whatever, you know? And it's like, what's that?
There's lots of those, the reflections on the glass thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd say like probably 90% of the people really don't realize that that's what it is, but there are some people, and that, you know, there are probably others who are like, oh, look what happened when I filmed this with my phone. It looks like a UFO. I'm going to send it off, you know, but
yeah,
it's
I think the people that are
going to
be impressed with it are impressed with it already. And the people that are not are never going to be. So that's why I've gone right off video and film and I kind of like I'll glance at things, but I don't really look because I'm never rewarded with a, oh my God, the only one I've ever seen that I really like was shot in Vegas in the late 80s, and it looks like a bunch of lights doing the falling leaf motion, and supposedly over Nellis Air Force Base north of Las Vegas. It's pretty amazing to me. It's a pretty amazing video because it does what UFOs are supposed to do, and it was shot in an era when you couldn't do that as an effect to make it look very good at all. Actually, you couldn't do it at all then.
Yeah.
So the whole stuff might. Yeah. Sorry.
No. I was gonna say somebody should dig that out. And I'd like to see that. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly, yeah, that's where all the weird shit happens out there in Vegas, so, you know.
Yeah, as Knapp says, all the news leads through Vegas,
yeah.
Especially all the weird news and UFO news and anomalous, military stuff, obviously, because they're next to one of the biggest Air Force or Air Force defense facilities in the world there. The whole complex, all the way from Nellis Air Force Base through to Area 51, which I think is part of the Nellis Range. And then you get over to the east, I mean, sorry, to the west of there, you got the Mercury site, which is where all the atomic testing went on.
Yeah. It's very, it's where all the action is. The American
a lot of restricted airspace around there. I was looking. Somebody I know wanted to go out there and fly a drone, like, near Area 51. It's like, depending where you are, you probably shouldn't do that. But
that's crazy. Yeah, I wouldn't fly.
You can, if you fly a drone into Area 51, you'll get shot down. But if you stay on the highway, I noticed on the map, you're in a military operations area. You're not in a restricted or prohibited area. 51 is prohibited. Along the extraterrestrial highway is restricted. I'm not restricted, but it's a military operations area, MOA, which means you actually don't need permission to do anything to fly through it. You just have to watch out for like low flying jet aircraft that can just disintegrate you when they run into you.
Jesus. Yeah. And ruin your drone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, from what you tell me, they're expensive, so you probably don't want to.
Ones that can go up high enough are probably in the order of $1,500 to $2,000. So they're not nasty, but they're well within reach of most people.
Yeah. So that was it really for UFOs. I mean, I think, yeah, we'll see what happens this year. You know, I think it's going to be a big year for UFOs still. So I think
I've got high hopes. I want to see what Elizondo, who is probably seems to have taken over the narrative TTSA at this point. What he has in store. I mean, besides that thing in
Mobile,
in Huntsville, which coincidentally is where there's a giant NASA facility there. I think they started there in the '60s, building Apollo and slightly earlier aircraft rockets.
Really?
Yeah. So that's going to be Friday the 5th, March 15th to Sunday March 17th.
Alfred Lemberg should go. He lives in Alabama.
Oh, does he? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I knowing him all these years, I never knew where he lived.
Yeah, I told him to get the hell out of there, and he's like, it's like, I can't. So.
All right, we've spent 40 minutes on UFOs. What do you want to go on to? Bigfoot?
We'll do cryptids next.
Okay.
This will be, I think all the other stuff, you and I are far less opinionated about the other stuff. So.
Oh, Bigfoot, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, Bigfoot, woohoo.
I kind of skipped for the purposes of this program, Bigfoot per se, because it was just sort of like another good year for Bigfoot. He's sort of like still, you know, he's sort of established it has established itself as sort of like, a pillar of the community.
Yeah.
That might be the best way to put it. He's being honored in towns across America who are naming him their it or her, whatever, the official cryptid of their community. And, you know.
How many places did that? Like at least two?
It's up to like five or six now. It's
really?
Actually, yeah, yeah. So, and they're probably, I've been tracking this story for a couple of years. They're trying to put it. Sasquatch on a license plate in Washington, but it keeps getting bogged down in committee and shit. Bigfoot, you know, the other thing was, there was the Bigfoot porn thing with the person that was running for office that was accused of writing Bigfoot porn. That was probably, unfortunately, the biggest Bigfoot story of the year, honestly, that I can think of. It was like, you know, in the usual array of Bigfoot pictures and videos and stuff, so... Nothing really too scientific about Bigfoot, but more that it's like even more and further becoming a pop culture icon, if you will. So that's it for Bigfoot.
I guess there was like every video that came out, I think it's just kind of like, well, it could be something. It could be something in a suit. You never see like a Bigfoot staring you in the face from 3 feet away and then like grunts and runs away. It's like UFOs. I mean, you'll see something, but it's never that close.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They're very similar in that regard. So, that was it with, yeah. I mean, I get no complaints, I guess, because, I'm happy to see how people love Bigfoot now, which is kind of cool because, like, when I was a kid, I loved Bigfoot and no one really cared. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Now,
like,
towns are making them the official animal of their town.
Yeah. Like, I knew Bigfoot was cool years ago.
Yeah, I was told that I read all the Bigfoot books in the library along with the UFO ones when I was a kid, including, I think, Ivan Sanderson's Abominable Snowman Legend Come to Life, I think is the name of that book.
Yeah.
Isn't specifically Bigfoot, but it's the same, you know, it's like, you know, a unknown hair-covered hominid, elusive hominid.
Aren't they all? Okay, so next we got, I kind of focused on this over at the Coast site, because it stuck out to me when I was going over all the stories, and that was just that, like, sea creatures, a couple years ago it was like everyone was talking, or I saw a lot of stories, I guess you could say, about the thylacine, and that kind of faded away this year, and then sea creatures kind of became the big thing this year, which was surprising.
Thylacine is a native Tasmanian animal, which supposedly went extinct, I think, in the 19th century.
Yeah, Tasmanian tiger.
It's an okapi looking feline, or was. Strange markings on it. Go ahead.
No, it's actually a dog. That's the weird part. A dog, like a dog-like species, which
that's
is the confounding part of the Tasmanian tiger, because it had stripes. The dog was like stripes and a stiff tail.
Stripes on its butt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that people like down there. Some people down there think survived. What would you call that? Being declared extinct. Survived extinction.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But this year was aquatic cryptids.
Yeah. So I'm going upstairs to make a coffee. So hopefully people don't get too confounded. But yeah. So it was another year, Nessie.
Kim professionally can do this while he makes coffee.
Yes. So you know, so Nessie was like, I think it was about the same as last year. It's been on the rise. So there's been the number of Nessie sightings. So it was like I think there were like 13 or 14 total. But I mean that's kind of like par for the course, I guess you could say, because as I said, it's been kind of creeping up every year. But the cool part I thought that sort of tied in with that was the Canadian sea monster. It's not like
lake
the
monster.
Lake monster, yeah. Ogopogo. That I thought that was pretty cool because that has like its moments, but it's not like Nessie where it's like you get 9 or 10 or whatever sightings a year. This one you maybe get like, this is the first I've heard of it in a long time. So, you know, I mean, obviously I've heard of it, so it's heard from Ogopogo in a long time. So that, and there was like 3 sightings clustered together in the fall. So that was pretty cool.
Did they get video of it or anything of Ogopogo?
Yeah, I think there's like 1 video and maybe a photo. Yeah,
okay.
And 1 witness.
Yeah, because that's Lake Okanagan in British Columbia. Actually, my first girlfriend was Canadian, and she got an art degree from. She couldn't remember the name of the school though, but we didn't have internet then, so we couldn't remember the name of the college. She said it was next to Lake Okanagan, so we for a resume we sent out, we said it was Ogopogo College. Because I knew about Ogopogo and Lake Okanagan, and she said, I don't think it was Okanagan College. It was something else. I said, how about Ogopogo College? Okay, let's just use that. Because she, of course, knew what Ogopogo was.
Yeah. did she get the job?
I think she did, actually.
Oh, wow.
You know, how are they going to check on Ogopogo College in pre-internet days? They'd have to call up Canada. Give me the number for Ogopogo College.
I don't have anything to say about Olga, like just that he showed up. Just that he showed up 3 times this year and he hasn't shown up in a while.
Nothing from Lake Champlain in New York.
No sightings, but they're going to give him a license plate. They're trying to. So there's a race now, in my mind, a race between Washington State and their Sasquatch license plate that they've been trying to do for 2 years, and now this proposed Champ license plate in Vermont. So we'll see who gets it first.
Yeah, the lake is borders New York State and Vermont, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I keep thinking it's in New York State, and it's both. It's the border runs down the middle, so.
Yeah. So, I'm back at the home office now. So
apparently, Nessie was honored on a coin. You said here. In
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They did, and Stonehenge, but there wasn't any place to mention that. So, They put Nessie and Stonehenge on coins in
Like legal tender UK. That's sent to the UK, not just like, you know, commemorative coins.
Commemorative style. You know, like how they had those 50 state coins here?
Yeah.
These were like...
Oh, they are circulating currency.
Yes, I believe they are, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Circulating currency with Nessie and Stonehenge on them.
Yeah, it was like A to Z, all things British or whatever, or UK-ish, whatever, yeah. So.
Bentwaters for B?
No. Only, no, they couldn't decide if or it should be R for Rendlesham. There was no, they eventually just scrapped the whole thing. How fitting for the case. So that was cool too. So I don't know what the hell it, there's an overall, I don't know, people are embracing these creatures and stuff, which is cool. So
no, that's good. I mean, the culture is catching up to it. Now, what the hell's going to happen if you know, when everybody believes that something's going on, does that make it happen more? Does that, who knows? Because I don't subscribe to the external reality thing anymore. I'm really starting to think it has a lot to do with what people believe and how they believe it and all that, especially for these weird things. That if more people believe in them, they might show up more. Kind of like that Whitley Strieber thing where he said he talked to his father or somebody said, somebody in the Air Force in the 50s said they don't want anybody to believe in aliens because it would make it easier for them to get at us.
That makes
Which
sense.
It was a very weird idea, but it's starting to make more sense as time goes on here, strangely and frighteningly enough.
I like the terrifying twist at the end. Get at us. Not communicate with us. Get at us. That's the that's the part that gives you pause.
That's the military mindset. You know? It's like it would open the door for, you know, whatever it was to take over or.
I've heard that kind of in a different context, but a similar thing in a sense. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of also to that idea. It's like if the – what happens when the fringe becomes mainstream? What becomes fringe? So,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
The fringe moves further on to the fringe. I mean,
yeah.
You can see it happening now because it's very strange parts of the paranormal that people are studying now and are poised to become, if not mainstream, at least more well-known. Josh Cutchin and Timothy Renner are working on a book basically on Bigfoot, but taking it from almost completely from the paranormal angle and not from the physical animal angle. And that's, I don't know if that's been done before. It probably has, but they're trying to do kind of a definitive book on that. So that's what they're working on. I'm salivating for that one.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. It should be good. So well, yeah, that's exactly, yeah. Well, yeah, you can see kind of no offense, Kutch. I don't need to compare what Kutch is doing, but yeah, I was gonna say like the other sort of fringy elements bubble up with like the QAnon stuff. Like we've seen conspiracies become mainstream, so now like what's fringe? Like the even fucking crazier conspiracies. So but we'll get to that in a moment. The other one, I for some reason I picked out, because people may remember this. This was kind of a weird story where like somebody shot like a weird wolf, and it looked weird. That's just the best way to put it. It looked like a weird wolf, and it kind of set the world on fire for like a few days, where people were like, "What is with this weird wolf?" And then they later found out it was just like, I presume it was just like a regular wolf that just looked weird. So,
well, the latest story that I got from David Perkins, which I guess has been going around for a while, is that coyotes are interbreeding with wolves and domestic dogs and creating these things that are not afraid of people and can tear you apart. So that's a nice thing to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of it was like the way they posed this thing. It looked like it just looked really weird. Yeah. I'll stick it. I'm looking at the link now. I'll stick it in the on the Radio Mysterio so people can see. But yeah, it got people excited. The only other funny thing was, it's like this is something sort of like a mental note for myself. It's like keep an eye out for raccoon stories, because I saw saw lots of them.
Yes, I saw that note. Big year of Mon Bantana mystery creature raccoons.
Yeah, for some, just kind of something I noticed while I was sort of looking over things again tonight. It was just like,
I was just talking to a couple friends about this raccoon thing. What were you referring to?
Just that there seemed to be more weird stories with raccoons than I could remember until I started looking, and I was just like, I just remember when I was putting together all my year end of the year lists, I was like, wow, another weird story with a raccoon in it. That's weird, you know. So I'd say there was like four or five. So, which is kind of inordinate. So, and they were particularly weird.
We were talking about I was just talking to a friend of mine about the rise of the raccoon. And, you know, could it be the next owl, as in Mike Cleland? are owls poised to become the next, paranormal, what's the word, a companion animal?
Spirit animal?
Yeah, raccoons. So
it's possible, There's a book out there for someone right now. you just gave it to them. Yeah. Well, they're very human-like with their little opposable thumb things, you know, or whatever they have. I don't know. They have like little paws that are like hands. They're very adept. So they're very human-like, as opposed to some other animals.
Oh yes, I used to leave. My cat used to, when I lived in Topanga Canyon, my cat used to refuse its cat food. So I put it out for raccoons, and while the raccoons were out there, they would grab it all with their hands, and the cat would sit there in the doorway and growl at them the whole time. It's like, well, you didn't want the food. What are you upset about? And I made a coffee cake that was terrible, and I didn't like it, so I left it outside, and the raccoons came and ate it with their little black hands.
Yeah, they're bipedal too a lot of times, which is, I think, makes them interesting.
Yeah,
you know, and they climb like crazy. They're just they're really interesting animals. So, and for some reason,
what were the raccoon stories?
What's that?
Do you remember any? What was weird about the raccoon stories? It's like aggressive ones.
Well, there was one that climbed a building and like went viral earlier in the year. And I don't even think I covered that at the Coast to Coast site. But then there was another one that climbed a building and like jumped, and like it was like an amazing video and weird where he, you know, like fucking fell. From the ninth story of a building it was climbing. And then there was a guy who was playing a flute and all the raccoons gathered around him. That's what kind of set them apart from, it wasn't just like, here's animals acting weird. It was like, here's like some kind of weird thing going on with these animals.
He's a raccoon whisperer. Well, yeah, there's all kinds of videos of people going out and playing instruments next to fields and cattle all come and listen.
Yeah, but this one was raccoons. It was like
this one spread to raccoons.
Yeah, that was one of the best stories of the year because it was so weird. But
my favorite stories was the buffalo circling the dead deer at Yosemite. What's the one in Montana with the hot springs? What the hell is
that?
That
is Yosemite, I thought.
No, Yosemite's in California.
Oh, I don't know.
Somebody type it in. It was like
Yellowstone.
Yeah, there's
I've forgotten now that they've closed them all.
Yeah, exactly. The there was a deer, I guess, an old buck male deer that had lived there for years, and it died. And somebody, I think, like a ranger, actually went out and he was like, "What the hell are all those buffalo doing? They were circling the deer. Buffalo."
Interesting.
Yeah. Kind of like I think Miguel reminded me of the turkey circling.
I was just
going
to say the turkey circle, yeah. That connects to the raccoons in a way because it's like last year, 2017, it was very turkey heavy. This year, a lot of raccoons. So we'll see. for real. So we'll see what comes out. You know, we'll see what pops up as the animal of the year for 2019. I don't know.
Time travelers, wacky conspiracies, what?
Time travelers, I kind of talked about, I talked about this on Coast to Coast, so I'm going to repeat myself, but the time travelers.
Nobody that listens to my show listens to
my Well, they should be listening to my segments. They're exciting. So
sure. Tim, on Fridays, I think in the first half hour, the second half hour of the show.
Yeah, generally, at the bottom of the hour, you can catch me.
The bottom of the first hour, yeah.
Yeah. Like the raccoons and the sea creatures, the Time Travelers was like this new thing that emerged online in the last year. It actually started in November of, 2017, but then exploded in January, where it's like, I joked with Ian Punnett, it's like, it makes me feel old, because it's like, apparently this is what...
I said, it's so old, it's new.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's almost like I don't follow. I'm not. There are people who follow YouTube, and there's YouTube stars and stuff. And it's like I don't know anything about it. It's like a whole different reality. But people love this stuff. And apparently, one of the trends on here was these time travelers. You know, just really one channel sort of became the time. They all took their story to this one channel. You sort of have to suspend your disbelief, just enjoy the ride, sort of trend of stories.
Right, right.
But you know, they all appear in an indistinct location, and their faces blurred and their voices blurred, and they tell these long, long stories about how they traveled to the future and how they were recruited by the secret government and all this stuff. Just they're really, if you just want to check out and listen to a completely insane story, they're so much fun. And the cool part, I guess, to me, in a sense, or the amusing, absurd, funny part is, it exploded, in January, really, when this guy was I'm a time traveler, here's a picture from the future, and it was, an awful picture, and it was essentially,
it's a blurry picture of a church or something. I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, 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 I had that one as the lead on the, thing. So, yeah, so then that unleashed all these, a torrent of time travelers, and they just started showing up on this channel and with ever increasing, attempts to prove that they were really time travelers, but all the attempts,
crazier stories.
What's that?
Our crazier stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So there was a guy who took a lie detector test, but you couldn't really see the lie detector on the video. And then there was a guy who showed off his time machine that he made based on the technology that he learned while being a time traveler. And it was it looked like someone took a shell off an old computer and kind of just stuck up. You know, it was a cobbled together old computer parts, it looked like. And a lady with a plant, she had, I'm sure someone could probably – look at the plant, unless it's just something she made, or she's really a time traveler. But she had a plant from the future. So, one guy, my favorite, came from the future to now, but ran into himself, who was also from the future in here now. So there's a video of the two talking to each other with both of their blurred out faces. So it was, just the most insane. Wow, this is wild. So I enjoy seeing where the time travelers go from here. It was very flat earthy.
We should make a time traveler video. That'd be fun. Every time you say time traveler, for some reason I think of that stupid scene in Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh God, yeah, yeah.
Turn it off! Turn it off!
That's based on a real thing. I don't know if that it really connects to your gonads or whatever, but yeah, I think there's a guy selling it. I thought Jason Offit, and he'll listen to this and tell me, but I'm pretty sure I think they got a grant from his college to get one of the guy's things, and I don't know. I don't think they tested it or anything, but I think they just tried to figure out what exactly this guy was selling. But
yeah,
I don't recall all the details about that. But yeah, yeah. So I don't know. That was the time of Travis. It's just something really made me laugh. People should check them out if you're kind of looking for a laugh.
Quite amazing. Yeah, they're no alien fish head is our joke, but they are fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. They they kind of replaced the flat earthers for me. Because flat earthers they're kind of cashing in on all that on the run they had, I guess you could say.
I guess so. I mean, you don't hear too much about it now, but I guess are they still going to do their convention this next year? I think they had one this last year, in Denver or something like that.
Yeah, they actually had – there were three conventions, so it went from one to three. So, yeah, that's what I mean by they're cashing in. So there was one in Canada, one in England, and one in America. So, and very smartly, like, spaced out over the course of the year. So, like, March, June, and November. So, because they were assumably relying on, like, a fly-in audience of flat earthers from around the world.
Yeah, hopefully the November one was in the warmest place, so.
It was in Colorado.
Oh, well, then I guess not. It was in, well, whatever. It was in another place on the flat globe.
Exactly, yeah. So,
my favorite thing about the flat earth thing is that picture somebody posted, like the picture of the depiction of the solar system is like all these planets, and then Earth is like this, like big, it's like a tile floating in space. All the planets are all lined up, and Earth is like this tile, like this flat thing floating in space.
Oh, yeah, I kind of miss them when they were a little more wacky. Now that they're kind of, they're still wacky as hell, but it's like, what's that?
Mainstream, dare you say?
Yeah, getting mainstream in a sense. They're trying to be mainstream. And it's like, just go back to being wacky. But we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens there.
We gotta spread this stuff around. Let's put it on the internet.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?